Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's your boy, Dr. LaRosa D. Smith, known to some as Coach Smith and Dr. Lowe, the host and owner of WBSW Internet Talk Radio. We're going to have an awesome time through all our programmatic thrust. Just to get ready to have a ball, because that's what it's all about. We're going to give two claps. We're going to make it do what it do.
When we're going to make it do what it do, that's what it's all about. We thank y'all for taking an opportunity to join us tonight. I see one of our co-hosts joining us is Tina Robinson. She's on Facebook. Thank you so much, Tina, for taking an opportunity just to share with us and be with us. We just want you to be a part of it. I am Dr. Rosa D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You Prime Time. We're airing at 7:30 every first and third Monday of the month. We try to share some things. Now, the reason you may be saying, why do I take my time with me sharing with me what the reason why I will be here checking this out, first of all, one of the most important things is we're going to focus on our neighborhood. We're going to look at things block by block. See, we're going to talk about all the issues in your neighborhood, and it's just talking plain old life issues. That's what this show is all about. We're so glad to come before you. The calling number so you can be a part of the show is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give your location. If you choose to give your name, then you can jump in with your comments. It's good to have everybody just join us. Give a shout-out to Tiffany Davis, and she knows that's 29 plus 6. Thank you so much, Tiffany. I'm going to give you a wave along with Tina Robinson and my fraternity brother. BBB of Zeta Phi Sigma Chapter, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, that is Tony Stoneworth. That's Touchdown Tony, because he'll join you on Wednesday night when we'll be talking sports. So we're really excited about what we're going to do tonight. The title, again, is Life is Hard but Fair. And I want you to think about that. Think about what we're going through this crisis tonight. We got other things that was happening before the crisis, which is the health crisis. We ask you to follow the protocol. Make sure you keep in mind that we have to be careful, not careless. We have to be selfless, not selfish. This is a time for us to think about that. I know everything seems to be like it's about to turn the corner, but the best way to deal with this is to be on the caution side, making sure you don't put yourself and your family in a situation that may cause even to the point of death in your family. We want to truly take this opportunity to more or less offer our condolences to General Colin Powell's family, as well as him being the first black Secretary of State for these United States of America. We want to give his family a shout out, but also just offer the prayers for his family. Also, we want to offer prayers for our fraternity, for the Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. President William Bill Clinton, he got out of the hospital today, so it was good to have him moving out, and unfortunately we had General Colin Powell to transition today. See, God is watching over all of us, and we want to make sure we do that. You know, we just keep in mind what's going on. Think about the health protocol. Think about doing the best you can do to protect your family. This is what this is all about. And I promise you, if we do that, we're going to come through with blazing. We're going to be blazing through this situation in the end. Because it's about practicing what we preach. Practicing health, safety. Practicing making sure we're taking care of our families. I want to make sure I take this opportunity to meet live one of our co-hosts. So I make sure she's here. I want to give a shout out, but I'm going to introduce her in a minute. That's this young lady out of Greenville, South Carolina. Member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. None other than Sarah Sakara, H. Black. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing fine tonight. How are you?
God has blessed us to see one more day. So that's where I am.
Yes,
I'm being blessed.
General Powell, because that was a good tribute to him, that his family was certainly in our prayers.
Awesome. That's what it's all about. We're going to make sure we continue to support one another during this time, because if you haven't had any friends or family members to transition in the last year or so, you know, God bless you. But some of us haven't been that fortunate. So regardless of when it happened or who it happened with, we've got to recognize those individuals on WBSW Internet Talk Radio. We'll give a shout out to Lisa Marie Smith-Sherrod, also to Jacqueline.Jones.1276. Thank you for joining us as well. Now, we want to truly go through our promo and make sure we talk about some of the things that's important that will help you connect with us. If you truly want to check us out, you can call in and share your thoughts on our guest lines. That's 347-857-4192. Repeat that, 347-857-4192. Press 1. I'll make sure you are recognized by calling out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, actually your location, and offer your chat, your comments, your expertise, whatever it will be. If you want to check us out on the web, you can. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. If you want to email the show, you can. You can email us talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. And if you're interested in tweeting the show, you have that same opportunity. You can tweet the show at Talking Real to You, at WBSW_internet_talk_radio, at Lorenza D. Smith 15, at Coach with a K, _L_Smith, at Dr. Lorenza Smith with the number 1. And last but not least, you can tweet us at the Smith Wave Production. Now, Instagram, we're so glad to be able to broadcast on Instagram and partners with the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity out of Greenville, Alabama. Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville with the number 10 is their handle. And just being partners with allow WBSW Internet Talk Radio to spread their wings even further. But being partners with some awesome brothers, some progressive brothers. We want to give a shout out. I have to say that because the vice president is on the line tonight. He's checking us out. So I want to make sure I give him a shout out. That's Vice President Anthony Tony Stallworth. Thank you, Brother Stallworth, for joining us as well and being a part of this as well. Also, you can check us out on Instagram at Lorenza B. Smith 15 and Coach Dr. Lorenza Smith 15. You have all of those opportunities. And on Facebook, you have that chance as well. Facebook.com/DRLDalbertoSmith. What's so exciting about being here on and this network through this radio station is that we're heard in 18 countries. We have watchers and listeners in 18 countries. See, that's a blessing. Because we just gonna talk plain old life issues. We're going to hit you block by block. We're going to go into your neighborhood. We want you to pull out things that are going on in your neighborhood and share with us. Title for the show tonight is Life is Hard, But It's Fair. I was having a conversation earlier with a good friend of mine and was talking about some of the situation of so many homeless people, all of the tent cities that's springing up all over places. And there's efforts to keep that from happening in certain cities, large cities, metropolitan areas like Atlanta. And they're doing things to keep them, but they're still making their way through. We're in some challenging times. So I want you to believe that life is hard, but it's fair. And you got to focus on what needs to put you in the right place. That's trusting in our Lord and Savior. See, now we're not going to go anywhere without saying that. Because Christ is ahead of my life, and I hope He's ahead of your life. I hope you are guided by His wisdom, His love, His grace, His mercy. And that's what we've got. We're so happy to give another shout. I see last week I was giving out how many episodes we've had with the Smith Way Production and now WBSW Internet Talk Radio. And it's one thing about, I might be keeping up with it all, but it's something about this computer and the technology through the headquarters in New York, New York. They popped up. They said 435 episodes. and they said, congratulations to your network. I'm telling you, that was just joy. You know, I was shorting the opportunity by six. I was saying 428, 429 would have been, but it's actually 435. So, see, God is good. He's blessing us since 2017. We started with a dream, started with a vision. And God said, I want you to take this vessel and make it available to everybody. So we're going to talk about life is hard, but better. I want to give a shout out to Sarah Deborah Roberts Mueller. She's out of that chapter at Alabama State University, undergraduate chapter at Alabama State University. I want to give her a shout out. Then I want to give a shout out to Ms. Bruce EDS, another member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Want to give her a shout out. She's doing some awesome things over there in Georgia. So, you know, we have individuals joining us, and the blue and white always standing strong. Thank you so much. You know, I love y'all, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. It's coming from my heart, and I think the same thing will be said from our co-hosts. We love you. To all the Divine Nine for taking time to be a part of this and sharing in this dream, sharing in this vision, because God has his hand on. Give a shout out to Pick Nine joining us. There's another individual taking an opportunity to join us. See, that's what God's doing. He's just filling our hearts, and he's filling the atmosphere with people who want to be a part of it. Let's talk about life is hard, but there, that's the title. I want to introduce and give a shout out to all the co-hosts who join us from time to time, because we do actually have two on the line. One of them is joining us by Facebook. She'll type in some things, but she says she had a lot going on, but she still was going to join in by Facebook. This young lady hails from Oakland, California. She's known as the lady that put the boots on the ground. She's out in the communities. She's among those individuals that are in the homeless status, whether they are 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, up to 80, 90, whatever that means. She's out there making sure they're taken care of. And then she's a part of this, what we're doing, this vision God gave us. Her organization is owning my own truth. See, you got to understand, when you can accept what's going on in your life and own your own truth, you can see on the other side of the mountain. You can see over it or around it. So God will bless you. None other than Tina Robinson. She's on Facebook joining us. Also, I'll give a shout out to our co-hosts who have not called in, but I got to give a shout out. That's the coach with the cape. That's Ms. Lauren D. Smith, a millennial who's working with us, sharing some ideas from time to time. Dr. Olivia E. Smith is joining us as well, and we thank her for her expertise. We have Ms. Lisa Levine. She normally would call in. Thank you, Lisa, for joining us as well. And also, we want to give a shout out to this young lady. She's in Greenville, South Carolina. I tell you, she's a spirit. Her energy is high. She's a former administrator, a former counselor. She'll always be an educator. That's her chosen people. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So glad to have her as a part of it. None other than Sarah Scarlet H. Black. Sarah Black. Let us hear from you now.
It's so good to be with you, my brother and doctor and the creator and founder of this great, great media presence. I am so proud to be a part of this organization, this team, and so glad to be with everyone tonight. And let me also just reiterate and just ditto what you said about the Divine Nine, because those of us as members of the Divine Nine, we come together collectively for the betterment of mankind and humankind, and that's what this show promotes and encourages. We are our brothers and sisters keepers, and to our listening audience who always joins us and those who are new on board tonight, we're so glad to have you with us, and we hope that while we're expressing our views to the questions, feel free to do the same, because we all have varying opinions. But then there are often times where we're more in unity than we are in not having unity. So just glad to be a part of it, Doc, and thank you so much for your kindness
so
and the compassion that you show towards the community. And I got to shout out to the brothers there in Greenville, Alabama, who do such a great job, and sponsors that join us and help promote this this show. We thank you.
Awesome, awesome. I tell you, thank you so much, Sarah Carter. Thank you so much, because that inspiring attitude that you have, the inspiring will and desire that you have, is I know those ladies of finer women to enjoy having you around because you inspire them. But you truly inspire what we're doing here. We like the energy. See, we're going to be talking about life is hard, but fair. See, we don't have to come up with many things to talk about me in the form of issues, because this is what it's all about. We're going to talk about life issues. That's what we're going to talk about. But the point is, we know things are challenging, but we also know life is fair. And we have to kind of work through it. So we have several topics we're going to focus on in regards to, we call it real talk. It's all about real talk. We're going to get down to the grassroots. Honey, come on now. We're going to get deep down there where some people don't want to go. See, we always try to be politically correct. But sometimes you got to be real. Let's be politically
real.
See, that's the problem right there. We're trying not to ruffle nobody's feelings. And then we're allowing people to be in tent cities. We'll learn people to not have food on the table. We'll learn people to not have jobs because we're trying to be politically correct. See, that ain't what it's all about, not in this world. It's all about taking care of one another. So we're going to talk about some things. And if it have you excited, all you have to do is call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 up. Make sure I identify with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, actually your location, and actually all your comments, your expertise. See, this is what it's all about. See, Sarah, you know, the title of life is hard but fair. But truly, when we're talking about our young people, and we want to focus on education, and specifically we're talking about black boys, but we ain't going to get just talking about black boys. Let's truly focus on how the education system is failing black America. It's not just black boys. It's black girls, staff, it's educators. See, we got to work, and we have to put a plan together. So we want to look at some things that we can address to say why our education system is failing black America. We want to think about it. I want you to think about it. You have a great opportunity on Instagram to type in your comments. On Facebook, you may not want to call in, but I see Sister Tina Robinson is already typing in something. She, you know, she said, let's go. Keep me 100 real talk. See, that's what they're talking about right there. So, Scarlett, we're going to address this situation because both of us are former educators. See, we don't say retired. Come on now. We said former educators.
No, we don't do retired.
See, whether we're still in the classroom or whether we're in the school building, the brick and mortar,
right,
we're still educating every day. And we're going to keep on because once you chose to be in that field, and Scarlett can't agree with me, you're going to be always teaching somebody. You're going to be always in a position to learn from somebody. And the thing about it, we got to step down and grab our young people because education system is failing Black America. And some people say, no, you know, I got my degree. Yeah, you might have your degree, but how many that don't have a degree? How many is down there that are not capable of being in a position to have that degree? Oh, first thing they say, everybody have an opportunity. Not for everybody. And we're going to have to address that. Scarlett, I'm going to let you kind of start off sharing some of your thoughts in regards to how the education system is failing Black America.
Well, the education system has always failed Black America. And I haven't revealed this yet, Doc, but I'll go ahead and say it tonight. I've written a book around this subject.
Oh,
it should be coming out very soon. And it's talking about some of these same issues. This has been a bucket dream of mine for years, and I've been working on it for years. And the pandemic gave me the opportunity to go ahead and put everything I need to say into this particular area. We've always been failed. If you read some of the documents and the things that people are trying to cancel out now, our history shows this. So this is not a revelation. Those of us who work in education, all of us who've been through an educational system, you know what's up. You know what we're getting. You know the pitfalls and you know the successes, but you also know the areas where there needs to be a lot of improvement. These are things that we've dealt with all of our lives. And on this show, every episode that we've had, and many of this 435 shows we've done, always come back to this central topic, dealing with the education, plans for children, and this pandemic has really heightened this spotlight on this issue, because we're losing kids left and right. We're losing effective teachers, and I use the word effective teachers, caring teachers, compassionate teachers, and there are millions of them who are also leaving the profession because things are being dictated to them on how to teach their curriculums and things that they can't do, which is being legislated. But when you legislate this kind of stuff, guess who you're legislating out? You're legislating our children out, poor Black and brown kids across this country. So in terms of how it's failing us, this is pre-pandemic, Doc. It was always failing us. When you look at the dropout rate, when you look at the number of kids that are identified even as early as third grade, when they're already projecting the number of classrooms they're going to need, jail cells they're going to need in this country based on third grade statistics. This is the truth. They make projections using the statistics of third graders to see how many prisons and jail cells they're going to need as those kids get older and go through the educational system. That's a sin of shame in a country of wealth and privilege. It's a sin and a shame that at third grade, you can tell whether a kid is going to be a dropout, not going to make it, going to be a troublemaker, and all these things. It's almost like we're already setting kids up for failure. So, yes, these are things that you and I have dealt with all of our careers. No, we're not retired. When I go to my grave on my tombstone, my marker, you know, it's going to be she cared, she was committed, and she was a lifelong teacher, mentor, counselor, educator. That's my passion. Because if we don't get it early and start demanding as parents, grandparents, guardians, aunts and uncles, cousins, whatever, if you are raising children, rearing children in this day and time, you know, you got to get into the fight. You got to start asking for what you want for your children. And I always said that everything that somebody on the east side of town wants for their kids, I want that for children on the west side of town, the north side, the south side, or wherever city or state you live in, where the majority of minority populations are. Well, the same thing for those children, too. They deserve it. Children are children. You know, when they come out of the womb, they don't know racism. They don't know these things. These things are introduced to them as they come into the different systems and foundations in this country. And we've got to start asking for better. And we've got to do better. And then we have to educate ourselves to know if you don't know and don't want to know, you know, that's a different thing. But if you don't know and you really want to know, open your mouths and ask. Open your mouths and have the same fervor that these people here, because about masks, they're down in our district office picketing the school board about children. They don't want their kids to wear a mask. My God, they're going to be wearing masks at the end of this month for Halloween. You know, the masking, you know, is nothing unusual in this country. So what's the big deal about wearing a mask that's going to save a life and save somebody else's life? But these are the type of things we get worked up about, concerned about. But when it comes to can they read, write, and compute and understand and reason, we don't get upset about that kind of stuff. We let that go.
Come on now.
You need to be aware of who is in that classroom teaching your children.
Come on.
Who are the people making the decisions? And where are you in the process of also letting them know your feelings before decisions are being made? So we can do better. We can do better by our own communities, by getting in the fight, getting our voices heard, and making sure that we don't take a back seat and let others do the driving for us. Sometimes we got to take the steering wheel and drive and not just sit back as a passenger.
Awesome, awesome. I tell you, Scarlett, it's a good thing to be able to go through a process. And Scarlett, if you know it, some of our listeners might be able to go back with me and take a, you know, it's a song by a ride, take this ride back, and we're going to travel back in time. We're talking about our education system is failing Black America. I can go as far as back to 1968. And I'm going to relate that because I can only relate to my area. Other places integrated before then. But the truth of the matter, we had an opportunity during those times to really focus on our young people, focus on our young people by providing them with college readiness courses. We provided them with quantity teachers and education. However, that was a red line that happened in America to our education system. That red line focused on keeping a lot of our Black children in our Black communities. By redlining them in the community, that means that the predominant white school district will always keep the new textbooks. Come on now, Scarlett, you know what I'm talking about. And people said, well, we was doing okay. Yes, we was doing okay because we love each other enough to make sure that one reach and teach another one. See, that's what I'm going to say, reach and teach. That means you got to reach out there and teach somebody that may have the same color skin you have. See, some people want to shut me out, you know. So I was telling somebody recently, put me in Facebook, a jail for about 48 hours because I may have said something that offended them. I don't know who it was, but, you know, it's all about talking real talk. See, we're talking about failing Black America. First of all, when we go back to redlining American education, it is that when they put all school districts in a certain area, and what they do is they start piecing off and dividing and keep them what they call zoning. Now, Scarlett, you know about zoning, right? And then they
that's true. That's true because you're redlining the schools, but you're also redlining the communities. And that's why a lot of our communities, where you can't get economic justice, you can't get economic development, and all these things, that was the result of it. And talking about gerrymandering, you know, I know we all these things, you know, they kind of work together. This was the design. This was the plan. Because when you're in the majority in terms of population, and you're being controlled by the minority, I think in South Africa, they call that apartheid. Well, I've always felt like, you know, we still have apartheid here, you know, because gerrymandering, redlining, you know, where good businesses that could come into certain neighborhoods, and when the little businesses and the mom-and-pop stores are closed and leave, there's a lot of blight left in the area. That's where when the neighborhoods and stuff go down. And that's what's happened throughout this country. And until we get serious about what it is for we say we the people and justice for all, until we get serious about these things, you know, it's going to continue to be that way. And it's been designed that way even as we speak tonight. Now, if you want to politically correct, this is not the show. You know, it's called Real Talk, and we keep it real. So we don't mean to offend, but you can't control someone's behavior on how they receive things. You know, I just know that we have to tell it from our perspective. You have yours, but, you know, this is what it is. Redlining, gerrymandering, all these things are things of suppression. Is a way to continue to keep everybody in their place in those neighborhoods, the neighborhoods, and where development doesn't happen. And if it does, they call it gentrification, where they're now taking people that lived in the neighborhoods out and moving them out towards the county. It was a report that came out here in Greenville, South Carolina, a couple of weeks ago that stated that where the black population was heavy around the downtown area, those houses and areas have been torn down, new high-rises and millions of dollars, multi-million dollar condos, lofts, things of that nature have gone up. And guess where the population is now? The biggest growing population is out in the county, where you're not near your church, you're not near your neighborhood school at one time, you're not near any grocery stores or things of that nature. If you do not have your own transportation and there's not a transit system out there, you've got to find a way to reach all of that. So either way you go, you know, we got to have a voice in some of this stuff. And you have to be present. You have to be focused. You have to be involved. You have to be fighting. Like Ms. Robinson out there in Oakland, California, you just got to be involved and serious about what it is you want for your community and for your people in your orbit. You know, I want the best for everybody because I believe in the American dream, and I believe that we all should have the opportunity and the right to reach it. That's just my personal belief.
Awesome, awesome. I want to read what co-host Tina Robinson on Facebook had an opportunity to come in. I asked everybody to come in as well. You have the same opportunity. She talks about Oakland and the inner city and talks about what's going on in the inner city. If I can get my stroller to not spin so much, drop back so much, I'll be able to read exactly what she have here. She said, inner city schools, education on fear is operating on fear and intimidation. I want to say that again. Your inner city schools, education system is operating on fear and intimidation. They refuse to teach our children things like self-worth. They refuse to strategize and allow our children to be placed in better situations. It is a self-sabotage that's going on. That goes back to redlining. See, there's a couple of things I want to just point out here, and I'm going to quickly go through them, and I'm going to give you the call-in number so you can be a part of it. See, in education, it's all about dehumanizing black people. Some people don't believe that, especially our black children. See, we put them in situations where they feel like they're not worth anything. So they're taught to believe that if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm not worth being here in the school system. See, it's dehumanizing
black people, especially our children, stereotyping our black children, calling them bad kids. You know, I heard that term come out close to me and close to home. It was wearing that bad boy. You know, I said, he's not bad. I want to say that to you first of all. He's not bad. Because the more you do that, more you put our children in that situation. See, Scarlett said something that was so important. She said, you need to know who's standing up in front of your children. You need to know who's teaching your children. You can't know for being at home playing cards. You can't know by doing everything else but coming up to that school. Don't come up to the school when you think something's been done wrong. Something's been done wrong for your child every day because they've been called bad kids because they're black. See, and we got to address this red line. We got to be able to not sit up here and loud websites like Zillow, and everybody know what Zillow is all about, right? It's about buying a new home. You know, when even advertised, there's a rarity that you see black Americans buying homes. Like we don't buy homes. All we do is rent some of the outdated, not homes that they don't want to stay in, but they're really to us in an enormous price. See, this is all about keeping us dehumanized, keeping us in a stereotypical situation, keeping us to the point we believe that we can't do better. And see, we got to get together. We got to answer the call. Come on now. Scarlett always talking about, don't sit back, and if you want to make a difference, you can't make a difference by being one. Everybody said, actions speak louder than words. If you don't do nothing, that's your action. So we're going to step up, because whether you have a doctoral degree, whether you have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a special degree, or high school diploma, everything that goes on that is stereotypical about black people applies to you too, because you're black or brown people. See, that's what we got to understand. Just because we have a degree, we might have a job. That don't make us, in the eyes of the majority, to assist, because it may be said to be different that you're better. And we got to remember that.
Well, my thing to that is all these problems. Yes. Just don't get the big head about a degree. You know, that's how we put it in our real talk. Don't get the big head about having a doctorate, master's, or whatever case may be, over someone who doesn't. Because the same way you went up the ladder, guess what? You're still sort of the same way coming down that ladder. So don't get the big head about that. You know, do something with what you have. You got all that knowledge and the degrees and the education. Put to good use in helping somebody else, in helping our communities and helping our kids and those that may need just a helping hand and to reach back and bring them along with us. We lost that. We've lost that as a community because back during the day, when I grew up in North Carolina from where I'm from, the mailman, factory worker, the teacher, the minister, all of us lived in the same neighborhoods, and we were our brothers and sisters' keepers, because if you went wrong with the mailman, guess what? When he delivered that mail, he sure was going to let your parents know, I saw so-and-so where they shouldn't have been. We had that spirit of community and taking care of each other. And then as things loosened up and things desegregated, we moved out, away from those areas and moved up and moved, you know, tried to move better in some cases. And we lost our community. We lost our spirit communities. And then with the interstates, in some areas by design, those were another way of redlining and gerrymandering our communities to separate. And so we've just stayed pretty much separated and lost a lot of that community. But one thing I always try to do, from 7:30 until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, in one school, there was going to be a sense of community. We were going to have that, where parents needed help, they needed plans, and need someone to help them with their plans, or where to direct them to get the help that they needed. In that little schoolhouse, we were going to be that community, and that's what we did. We made sure. We tried so hard that while we were educating and doing the basics, the three R's, we were also doing those outside R's, you know, talking about respect, responsibility, and giving folks the help that they needed. And this is what we did. We don't have that anymore. We lost the church as a hub in our communities, and then we lost our schools as our hub in our communities. So we've got a lot that we've got to, over the decades, we've just lost because no one, when the segregation came, no one really kept our schools open. We bore the burden of desegregation with busing and all those things. And we just got a lot to make up. It's always going to be a challenge because we've got to make up for so many decades that have already preceded us, and now throw in the pandemic. My God, what else, you know, are we facing that we've got to do? It's just overwhelming. And there are mountains that we're going to have to climb. And I'm worried about this population, these children who are in schools now, because they got another mountain to climb. You know, the emotional, the mental, you know, things that they've lost these 2 years. That's a lot. And it's a lot for adults. Can you imagine what it is for children? My God, they got so much to face and to do. And we have got to be there to help them. I don't care how old you are, you know, whatever case may be, you know, we still got to care about each other.
Exactly. Scarlett, thank you so much on that call. We want you to be a part of it. We want everybody to call in. And if you want to share your thoughts, as you can do it on Facebook or also do it on Instagram. Tina Robson is constantly sharing things on there. We can do it, all things through Christ who strengthens us. My heart is going out to our young generation. The child was called bad. That child is called bad, was asking for attention, because they're not getting at home. But we want you to call at 347-857-4192. Again, 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Ask for your location. You give your name and offer your comments on these topics in regards to how our education system is built. Now, we have talked about this. And I talk about it in my Dr. Lowe's neighborhood. I talk about it on all my shows because we're not getting answers. We're continuing to talk, and the work is not being done. And we're going to have to come together. We got to get down to the grassroots. We got to get down to the block by block if we want to make these changes. You know, I simply said something about Zello. And how, and you know this, if you buy a home, you know, the first thing they ask you when you buy a home, what kind of school district are you looking for?
Well, I go a step further.
You know, in neighborhoods that are poor neighborhoods. Go ahead, I'll start it right quick.
Right. They rank the, it's Zillow, and they do rank the schools on their profiles of the neighborhoods and the house and the home. It got so bad here. They would also put where the school, the test scores on Zillow and Zillow and information about the children's, the school's test scores and how they were functioning in terms of the achievement, student achievement. Then it got down to the point where they would even talk about us as the leaders in the school. And I had a bad review from one person that said that I was overzealous for children. And I'm thinking, like, who in the world would call being overzealous for children a negative? A negative, you know. So you see how they write things that you don't think, they don't think you're going to ever see. But someone brought that to my attention. So what I did, I told the parents in our school, and I said, now, if you have a better view for those of you who just moved into the neighborhood or whatever, you know, please write something in order to counteract that. Because I put it all on the table. I said, now, if you think that we're being overzealous for children, then maybe, you know, we're in the wrong profession. You know, maybe we're going to be in the wrong profession. So I don't see that as a negative. I think that's a plus. You want to go to have your children in school where somebody cares about their achievement and going to make sure that the folks inside that building do the right thing by the children in the school. If that's overzealous, guilty as charged.
Awesome, awesome. I'll tell you, truly, truly, we have to look at things like that and see how it plays in this redlining. See, this is what we're talking about. Now we're going to move to how our school system making criminals out of black boys. Now, you may not agree with me, but truly, truly, I give this example every time I talk about criminality and dealing with black boys. You know, I was working in the school system, and I went down to set up some testing and also help with the testing. And the counselor office was there, and right, they had a bulletin board with careers. What are you going to do? What's your future? And this is a 99% African American school. And it had a all of the field, what you was interested in, but it also had a big poster of Alabama prisons. People say that again. The prison population, they had a big poster. This poster was given out through the Department of Corrections, and this counselor had an nerve to post it right there by the door, along with the careers that you, your sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and grandchildren may have interest. You can't overlook and look at the careers when you're looking at a big old sign talking about the prison. It might have been said, don't go to prison, but we don't need that in our council in the front, the bulletin board walking in our council office talking about that. So the question is, are we truly trying to make the black and brown community criminals? Are we actually committing them? And Scarlett said something about that, and I see on the line, maybe Tina Robinson, I hope so, I see the number here out of California, so just check and see. Is this our co-host, Tina Robinson?
Hey. Hello.
Hey, my sister.
I had to jump on.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
My voice is a little hoarse. Excuse my voice. Yeah, is a little hoarse from going in praying through this process of our young people dying, getting murdered every day out here in California, all over, actually. It's like this pandemic has hit so hard, and it's just so close to home. It's like I'd rather lose my voice praying over the city than yelling at somebody on ignorance, you know?
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
I appreciate you as a male, Dr. Lowe, speaking on how the system is set up, designed to, create self-sabotage for our inner city youth, especially our black boys. And that is quite intimidating, you know, to walk into a counselor's office and see a post of a prison like that. And, you know, still doing most of my outreach in the inner cities, it's just like our young people have lost hope because we lost the village of support. Like, we have been privileged as elders. We've been privileged to have that village of love from aunties, grandmamas, and like the teacher that was just speaking, the past educator.
Yes, this is Miss Scarlett Black. Scarlett Black.
Scarlett, Miss Scarlett, how are you
Black,
saying? We had a counter. we had to be held accountable. Even before we got home, our parents knew what was going on. It's like now in this time, we can't even speak to young people without the parents, you know, getting upset. You know, it's just like they're ignorant to the support, like we're trying to control their children. But no, we actually want to help save their life. You know what I'm saying? If we could tell them to go home, we shouldn't be here in this location. I mean, you guys are hitting on so many vital topics that just really needed to be continued to be conversated about. And I'm grateful for this conversation. I didn't mean to just start what you were speaking on, Dr. Lowe, but I pass. I'm going to keep listening.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Tina. You know, she says she's been grinding and working and out in the community trying to get our young people to understand that I'm here to put you on the right track and get you out of the street and maybe get you in some setting that may be good enough to survive. But as we look at our school system making criminals out of our black boys, I'm just going to take a couple things that you may know of. One of the good examples of what you can call evidence of school system beginning to set our young children, whether they're boys or girls, is the use of suspension and expulsion. See, people got to understand, yes, that's a disciplinary action, but that's beginning to let them know we don't need you in our school, so we're going to suspend you or we're going to expel you. So if you suspend them, they're going to be where? At home, not in the classroom. We're talking about getting children back to brick and mortar. See, that's all I heard, and Scarlett and Tina, y'all probably heard this too, all our educators and even from the top talking about we got to get them back into brick and mortar. And see, I can know, and I will tell you, we've been back in school about 8 to 9 weeks with my grandson, and he had a few challenges there being out last year, and he had to go through a suspension. So you got to understand, when we start doing this with our 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, we're sending them home or put them in an alternative school setting. I'm not saying what we may have done was right. There's punishment and there's consequences for your actions. But it don't always have to be sending them home, because we begin to make them feel like criminals because they are no longer in the brick and mortar. You see, that's what we talk about. All we talk about, we got to get them home because they're doing everything at home. But when they get to the brick and mortar, you're still suspending them. We're still putting them out of school. I'm telling you now, this is nothing to play with. We're talking about making criminals out of not only our black boys, but our black girls. And truly,
it starts early because when you start talking about trying to suspend and expel a kindergarten child like someone tried to do, you know, I told them that's not going to happen here. I said, well, that's what the previous principal used to do. I said, well, I'm not the previous principal. I said, but this thing, and I went through this suspension records and expulsion records. One of the first things I did when I got into the school was to look at and the patterns of the classrooms where they were coming from. Mm-hmm. And when I started seeing the pattern with a few people, we had to have a conversation. And that's when I started doing, you know, the goal-setting conferences for everybody in that building. Yeah, this is what we're going to set our goals for this year. And let's get down there and talk about discipline and what are your practices and patterns on how you're going to deal with children that may disrupt your classroom. Well, they were putting them out in the halls or sending them to another teacher's classroom that looked like me and you and Ms. Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking like, but that teacher's trying to teach your kids, too. So why would you send somebody that's been disruptive in your classroom to somebody else's classroom? Because the only thing you're telling the child is the only thing I got to do is cut up. I might like going to that other classroom.
Right,
you've already lost the control by sending them out of the classroom. Then I said, well, what about if someone comes through this building? And at that time, I was in an older building when I took the school over before we built a brand new school. It was based on the Florida plan. I think Lisa and I talked about the Florida plan of school buildings a couple months ago, where the most of the doors open to the outside walkway. So anybody could walk up on that campus. You got a child standing on the outside at 5 or 6 or 7 years old, little kid, and all of a sudden they're missing. Someone's come through and grabbed the child. You don't have an idea where the kid is. Kid can't get any learning in the classroom because he's on the outside the door on the walkway. And then if that child gets missing, that falls on all of us because you put the child outside on the walkway. Kid may run away. And we might not be able to find. So you got to worry about the children. So I had to try. I went through. You all just don't have any idea what I had to go through with some of those people about security and safety of children, in addition to making sure they got effective instruction, caring and compassionate instruction. So now this is before you get to actually put them out and send them home. Then I looked at the patterns of how many times has some kids in the school been suspended or recommended for expulsion. There were kids that they spent most of their time suspended than they did in the classroom. You know, so if the child is always suspended, what are you doing to change this dynamics that's happening in the classroom? Well, this child is not being engaged. Only thing you can do is I don't have a pencil, then all of a sudden he's in the office. You know, this type of stuff. So that before it even gets to that point, you have to deal with this little, I call it mamby-pamby stuff, you know. So then I said, well, I tell you what, we're going to correct this because I'm going to buy every teacher in the school paper and pencil. So when a child needs paper and pencil, we take that issue off the table. You just reach into your drawer or whatever, or what I have purchased through my budget, give them a pencil, give them the paper. That's not an issue. We don't have to take 15 minutes of classroom instruction arguing about why you didn't have a pencil today and why you didn't have the paper.
Right.
You see, you take the issue away and not let it become one. But you got to have administrators like me and Doc in those class in those schools who are not going to put up with this stuff, you know. And it starts from the top to the bottom, because however the top is, whether the top is a planner, whether the top is a visionary, whether the top, you know, really is compassionate about kids, you can go through that school and you can pretty much tell the staff is going to follow. Am I right or wrong, Doc?
You're right. And Tina wants to jump in right there. Tina says she wants to jump in and share some things with you.
Yeah, so okay. I was pretty popular in my day, in my high school, junior high school and high school days. What I know for a fact is that most of the young people that were coming and getting suspended, acting out, they were actually crying out for help. So when these teachers were, like, suspending these young people, like, hey, I'm not dealing with this. You know, you can go back home and deal with your mama, let your mama deal with it. That was just the thing. The mama or the daddy wasn't in the home to deal with it. And grandma or granddad had four or five other siblings on their hand that they were trying to help raise when, you know, they have their own trouble in their household with their own family members. So, again, even to this very day, when you sending a child home, and I want to say, when my children got into a different issues at the schools, I took my time out to volunteer in that space of time. No, you're not sending him home. You know, what can I do to help, you know, get some understanding on what's going on with these children? You know, why are they acting out? You know, if we don't know why they're acting out, then how can we know how to help them? How can we know what resources to send and share with that family if we don't take time out to communicate with them children? So if you just throwing them out to the wolves to go back and play in the middle of the street, if you don't care, their mama in the home life don't care, then where is the home? You know, we got to sometimes snatch them children, not literally, but, you know, get their attention like, no, you're not getting away with this. or you acting up, you know what the consequences are. You're going to get sent home. So check this out. We got a whole new script for you. You're going to sit down here and tell you blew it in the face or do whatever, but we need to communicate. I need to know how I can help you. I'm not afraid of you. Your acting out is not intimidating me. You know why? Because I love you. That work, that love, you know, through
Come
actions
on.
Of loving on a child
Come
when
on.
They're acting out is. And I was actually just speaking to a childhood friend from elementary the other day. We were saying we didn't understand how their children that with this behavior disorder had more attention from the children. I mean, from the teacher. We didn't understand why the children that act out became the teacher's pet. What we now realize is those teachers that cared about those children knew to pull them in closer and not cast them out like they were nothing. You know what I mean? And it was like,
yeah.
It was very few teachers that took out their time to say, this is a human being. This is a baby. This is a young person. There's something going on. It's bigger than this young person acting out. You know, how can we help this situation? You know, and it's still even more
football
today.
Mm-hmm.
First
awesome,
of all,
awesome.
You got to remember, we got to recognize now, where because of the pandemic, veteran teachers, like you're talking about, those I call them old school.
Mm-hmm.
I brought retired teachers with the old school mentality to deal with some of our kids that needed the extra love and attention, and I asked them to come back and work with us. And I was able to pull them in through some budgetary funding that I had, and it made
mm-hmm.
all the difference in the world because they do need
yeah.
that old school grab you around your shoulders and just hug you and say, okay,
yeah.
baby, what's wrong today? Let's talk
yeah.
about it.
Come on.
Well, those folks are leaving. Mm-hmm. Those folks have left, and because
mm-hmm.
of the way these legislators, these states are acting, and passing these laws, what they can teach and what they can't teach and how they better behave and how they better act, all that stuff. These folks are saying, I can go work somewhere else, make more money than they have to go through
mm-hmm.
all of this. You know, when
yeah.
you lose, when that teacher loses their autonomy in that classroom to really drive their instruction and to meet the needs of the children in the classroom through the curriculum that's approved by the state, and now they're going back, you know, taking this out, taking that out, taking this out. What do you have left? You know, you
yeah.
don't have the truth. You know, and we need to be truthful with people and with children particularly because they're going to find the truth on their own, whether it's taught to them or not. So those folks
exactly.
are leaving. So what do we have left now? We have young, inexperienced folks in education, many of them that do not look like us, coming into education,
mm-hmm.
never had any idea on how to work with children from different ethnic and racial backgrounds. This is what's
mm-hmm.
left. And some of them, you know, went into education because, you know, made them feel like they couldn't do anything else, you know, according to them, you know, and couldn't get their dream jobs or whatever. So they fell back on that. This is what we're seeing coming in now. But the veterans and people with that same kind of attitude and behavior that you're talking about in a lot of our cities and states, those folks
mm-hmm.
are leaving. And it's a sin and
yep.
shame. And then we do have some really good novice teachers coming in who have worked and got what you call it, doc life experiences and have worked
yeah,
with so
yeah.
many different types of people. That's the kind of folks that I always look for who had those experiences. So you have to tell them how to work with a child from a home that is disadvantaged because they'd already been in with their life experiences, they had already worked with children from those homes in other areas. And that made a big
mm-hmm.
difference too because you didn't have to go back and try to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, I tell you that, you know, not to cut you off with that, you know, time goes so fast. We have a full
oh,
agenda
Lord,
right here.
Oh, Lord, I'm already.
Yeah, and what we want to do is, because, see, we touched on what is really, really what we need to be talking about. We need to talk about how our education system is failing our children and just failing Black America, whether it's through the higher education, whether it's through the secondary education, or through the elementary level. Children are being failed, or pre. Children are being failed. And then we want to put them out there in the world and ask them to be productive citizens. We got all these things we're talking about, you know, how our black boys and girls are being nowadays created to be criminals. Have them thinking that if I expel you enough or suspend you enough, you're going to do two things. And people don't realize. I always say they're going to dim out. That means they're going to come to school and eat lunch and sleep. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Or they're going to drop out. And if they drop out, that means they're going to be where? On the streets. They're going to have to find a way to be productive.
To make a living.
And it's not always
to make
easy. Mm-hmm. And we have to kind of keep that in mind. So, you know, we had other things on we wanted to talk about, but I, and Scarlett and Tina, I want to get to everything, but we're not going to get to
part two. Yeah, we got to do a part two on economic
stuff. Yeah, we're going to talk about the economic, we're going to talk about some of the political and social issues that we're going to talk about. But
yeah.
we're truly beyond the hour. So what we want to do is get close. I want to get some parting words from both of you all. You can share what you would like to share with our watchers and listeners. We can start with you, Tina.
Okay. Just want to say thankful. I'm grateful to God for my process to purpose. You know, although it was uncomfortable and very challenging, I kept reaching for a greater source of strength within me. So coming out of COVID severity, the trauma of COVID, the greatest gift I learned was to value the spirit within. It's not your circumstance. It's not your income status. It's the spirit that you have within to share genuine compassion. And I just thank God for that ability. I thank God for you, Dr. Lowe. I'm here to serve in whatever capacity it may be. Even when I don't want to, my spirit stays on fire to go stand in the gap, to go be that very one to stand in the gap in these inner city communities. Is that in spite of everything that came to break Tina Robinson, I'm still here. My heart is still beating full of blood to continue to share unconditional love and purpose. And again, I thank you, Scarlett, and Dr. Lowe for having this platform and just the whole Dr. Smith platform. I'm honored to continue. It has to just be a part of the consistency. You know, sharing this real talk. I thank you. And God bless. I love you all to life.
God bless you as well.
Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing out there on the streets of Oakland because it's sorely needed. And I'm sure there are so many more like you across the country. I hope and pray that they are, and I believe in my spirit that they are. For me, as usual, it's been a great discussion tonight. As you can see, we get fired up about it because we've been in the trenches working with children. All of our adult lives for sure in our careers. It's a passion. It's not just talk for me. It really truly is a passion and love because I know what can happen when you take a child from K-4 through a system and you do it the right way. I know what that looks like. I know what success looks like in getting the community and getting parents involved in their child and children or children's education and their progress. So this is not something that someone told me. I've lived the journey. I've seen the other side of it when it's done right, when it's done in the right spirit. When it's done with compassion and love, because there are kids now who are the first in their families to ever go beyond high school and get a college education and who are in thriving careers now, doing exceptionally well. This is what success looks like. And they're not dribbling a basketball or throwing a football. They are thriving in their community and they're giving back. You know, they learned the lesson of how you when you make it out, you give back. And that's what I'm so proud of. And if nothing else that we say on this show and keeping it real, you know,
like I said,
we're not here for political expediency. The name of the show is talking real to you. This is what we're doing. It's real talk. And sometimes, you know, it hurts. But sometimes we need to have a little hurt so we can do better. And folks, we can do better. We can do this. We can do this. But you just got to make up your mind that, you know, it might not be your child, but it's somebody else's child. And when you work with somebody else's child, it's just like working with your child. You know, you want the better for all these kids. And right now, there's a lot of work to be done, but we can do this. We can do this.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Scott and Tina, for being here to share this platform to talk about just how young people in Black America dealing with education. We have many other topics we want to focus on, generation wealth, and we will come back with part two. But she's been awesome. See, God has blessed us. Sometimes God will hold us in one place. And when he holds us in that place, he says you can get the word out, because if you keep talking passionately, it'll come out. Because I stand with you, not behind you. I am the Almighty God. He's our leader. He's our author. And see, I don't want to get in preach for a second, but you know what? We got to realize, we got to trust in our Lord and Savior and put Christ at the head of our life. We can't put him in the back. We can't put him in the side. We got to put him at the head of our life and follow him. Be guided by his life. His everlasting life. And that's what we're going to have to do in our community. And that's what it's all about. Talking, whether you're prime time, focus on just plain old life issues in our neighborhood, block by block. It's been awesome tonight. I want to give a shout out to all of those individuals joining us. We had several that joined us after the time that I was giving shout outs. We have Carol Davis that joined us on Facebook. Thank you so much. We have our fraternity brother, Brother George M. Scott Jr. of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity joining us. We also have the co-host that you have had the opportunity to hear us speak, and that's the lady that puts her boots on the ground. That's Tina Robinson. We have Shanisa Ham Leonard joining us, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
All right.
We have Deborah Roberts, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Lisa Marie Smith-Sherrod. We want to give her a shout out. We have a brother of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated and the vice president of Zeta Phi Sigma chapter of Greenville, Alabama. That's Brother Anthony Tony Stoneworth. And also we have Tiffany Davis. And we truly want to give a shout out to B29. Give a shout out to Miss Bush EDS, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Give a shout out to Jacqueline Doc Jones, got 1276, Miss Z Finley, 88, Mary Inc., 314, and those are the individuals joining us. We had many more on the board. Thank you so much. It's been awesome. But as I get ready to close out, I want you to keep in mind, hashtag be careful. Be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about responsible, but be careful, not careless. Let's be selfless, not selfish. Let's make sure we focus on what we're dealing with now. See, life is hard, but it's fast. And we have to be in line to understand what we're doing in life. Hashtag keep on grinding. Communicate for understanding. Make it do what it do. It's a mindset. Truly, we have to have a focus, and we have to move forward. And as I said, communicate for understanding what you have to do, and that's what this vessel is for, communicating for understanding. We have to move forward. It's been awesome tonight. Thank you, co-hosts, Sarah Scarlett Black and Tina Robinson, the lady that put the boots on the ground. She always gives me to say that, and she's making a difference. Scarlett as well, she's passionate, and myself. I'm Dr. Louisa D. Smith, glad to be here with you. And as we close out, I ask you to give your fellow member a hug. because we don't know what tomorrow going to bring us. Give them a, you know, tell them you love them. I don't care if they're across the country or all over the world. We got ways to connect with one another. If it's virtual or whatever it may be, tell them you love them. Just truly don't help. Just take that opportunity. I'm strolling down because I thought I saw someone that popped up on you. And truly, we have to do that. But as we go out, see, we may be going through struggles now. Our young people are going through struggles. They are failing. The school system is failing our black children, failing black America. But truly, I want you to keep in mind, we have to fight to keep our children safe. It takes a whole village to raise one child. We don't have to get everybody in one day, but it takes a whole village. We give a shout out to a good friend of mine and a mate from high school and also worked on the campus with me at Alabama State University. That is John D. Smith. Thank you, John D. Smith, for joining us. It's awesome to have you on here, John, and it's good to have people from the neighborhood. We go back a long way. You see, that's what God is all about. He bring people back. He bring us all together so we can do his work. It's been a blessing being here tonight. As I close out, as I said, we're going to struggle no more. Don't even worry about the struggles you're going through because God got you. And as I close out all my shows, I want you to truly feel this when I say this. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do.